Beneath the Kauri Tree by Sarah Lock, performed by Anne Flosnick. Child of the Stars, Dunedin and Waikato, New Zealand, 1875 to 1878. London, England, Cardiff and Treherbert, Wales, 1878. Chapter 1.
And until now you have been privately educated?
Miss Partridge, principal of the renowned Otago Girls' High School in Dunedin, cast a stern look at Matariki and her parents. Matariki thought the darkly clad woman with the lorgnette a bit strange. Miss Partridge appeared to be about the same age as her grandmother's from the Maori village, but no one there needed help seeing. The principal, however, did not strike her as imposing, nor did the furniture, undoubtedly imported from England, nor the heavy drapes for the tall windows and the many bookshelves. None of it daunted Matariki. It was her mother's behaviour that was unsettling. She had been anxious to the point of hysteria the whole ride from Elizabeth Station to Dunedin, nagging Matariki about her clothes and comportment, and worrying over the entrance exam her daughter would take that day, as if she herself needed to do well on it.
Not precisely, m-.
It was all Lizzie Drury could do not to call Miss Partridge ma'am, and during their introduction she had nearly curtsied. For more than 10 years, Lizzie had been mistress of Elizabeth Station, a farm near Lawrence. It had been a long time since she had worked as a maid, but highbrow settings and polite society still intimidated her.
"Miss Partridge," she said, trying to make her voice sound firm, "our daughter was in school in Lawrence, but the settlement is slowly dying as the miners move on. What remains of it, well, we'd rather not send our children there. That's why we've arranged for private instruction this past year. However, the capacities of our tutor have been exhausted when it comes to Matariki."
With nervous fingers, Lizzie checked the hold of her coiffure. She wore her frizzy dark blonde hair primly put up under a pert little hat. Perhaps too pert a hat. In front of Miss Partridge, the delicate blue and pastel flower decorations seemed almost too bold. If it had been up to Lizzie, she would have pulled her hooded cloak from the far corner of her wardrobe and put it on to look more serious. Michael, however, would not allow it.
"We're going to a school, Lizzie, not a funeral," he had said, laughing. "They'll take Riki, don't worry. And why not? She's a bright child, and if they don't, it's not the only girls' school on the South Island."
Lizzie had let herself be convinced, but before the severe eyes of the principal, she felt as if the earth would swallow her. However exceptional Otago Girls' High School was or was not, Matariki would always stand out. Miss Partridge's gaze now became markedly disapproving.
"That is quite interesting," she said, and then addressed Matariki for the first time. "Dear, you have just turned, what is it, 11? Yet you have already exhausted your tutor's capacities. You must truly be a gifted child."
Matariki, on whom the irony of Miss Partridge's tone was completely lost, smiled. It was a smile that usually won over every heart. "My grandmothers say I'm smart," she confirmed in her soft, melodic voice. "Aku says I can dance more haka than other girls at my age, and Hayata says I could be a dohunga, a healer, once I learn more botany, and Ingoa."
"How many grandmothers do you have, child?" Miss Partridge asked, looking confused.
Matariki's large, light brown eyes briefly lost themselves in the distance while she counted to herself the older women of the tribe. For her age, she was also advanced in arithmetic, though that skill had less to do with tutors, teachers, or grandmothers, and more to do with her thrifty mother.
16, she said.
Miss Partridge turned her gaze back to Matariki's parents. Her expression made Lizzie's breath catch.
"She means the older women of the neighbouring Maori tribe," Michael explained. "Among the Ngāitahu, it is customary to call all of the older women grandmother, not just grandmothers by relation. The same is true for grandfathers, aunts, uncles, sometimes even mothers."
"So she is not your natural-born child?"
The thought seemed almost to relieve Miss Partridge,
After all, Matariki did not particularly resemble her parents. Though Michael Drury was dark-haired like his daughter, his eyes gleamed as blue as the sky over Ireland. His face was angular, not round like Matariki's, and his skin was lighter. The girl could have gotten her delicate figure and curly hair from her mother, though Lizzie's hair was rather frizzy, whereas Matariki's was wavy. Lizzie's eyes were also blue. The girl had not inherited her amber eyes from either of them.
"No, no," Michael Drury said, shaking his head decisively. "Matariki is our daughter."
Lizzie gave him a brief, guilty look, but Michael did not return it. Instead, fending off the principal's apparent displeasure. Michael Drury had his failings, and sometimes his careless manner drove Lizzie mad. But he kept his promises, including the one Lizzie had asked of him before Matariki's birth, that he would never hold Lizzie's past against her daughter.